Hello everyone, welcome to the Joker Dolphin Gaming Pod. I'm Mark, and as always, I'm joined by Matthew.
Hello.
And Nathan.
Hey up.
How are we doing?
All good. Apart from nightmares about alligators, but less said about that, the better.
Well, it wasn't just alligators, was it, now?
It was.
That's not the story you've just told us.
Do you want me to go through it again, just for the listeners?
Well, I think the listeners might want to hear this.
Oh, go on then. All right. So, I had a nightmare that I was doing the pots, which is a nightmare in itself. But then I looked out of my kitchen window and Edward Cullen was there from Twilight. And I had a dream that somebody put a hit on me and Edward was coming after me. So I was like, right, I've got to escape. So I went out the front door only to be greeted by Edward's alligator that he somehow had that was coming after me. But his alligator had a little dog friend that came with him. So I was trying to get away from the dog and the alligator at the same time. And then eventually I managed to find myself in this betting shop and I locked myself in to try and escape, but the alligator managed to get its way in and then it bit my leg off, and then I woke up with my legs intact, thankfully. So yeah, that was something. I'd not even been eating cheese the night before either. I did have some cheese sauce in my takeaway, so it might have been that, but yeah, that were interesting.
Yes, a bit of fun for the listeners there. Okay, shall we just jump straight into the news then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Anyone want to kick us off with something?
Go on, Matt, I know you're itching to.
Me? Okay. Well, we had the 24th annual Game Developers Choice Awards.
Ooh.
And we got some winners here. Won't spend too long just going through it. I'll just list them off because there's not too many here, so... for best debut game, we got Venba, if you've heard of it. for best visual art, we have Alan Wake 2.
Yeah, saw that coming.
Yep. I've heard of that one.
You've heard of that one? Ah, okay. Best audio went to Hi-Fi Rush.
Just got his PS5 release.
Yeah. Just in time. Best narrative went to Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, the tsunami of Baldur's Gate now.
Right, we have the Social Impact Award, which went to Venpa. Innovation Award went to The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
Innovation? It's pretty much copy and paste from last one, with a sky bit and an underground bit.
Come on, you know it was about the joining stuff together and being able to have...
Oh, like, that's not been done before.
Yeah, but it's not been done on a scale they've done.
Skip, right, on to the next award, come on.
Right, best technology. The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
What? I thought you were going to talk about actual piece of hardware.
Nope. Innovation and the best tech usage in games, probably. I don't know. It did, just on... Complain.
Don't question it. Just
okay.
So best design went to Baldur's Gate 3. Yeah.
Right.
The audience award, Baldur's Gate 3. And could you guess who won Game of the Year?
Spider-Man. Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah, to whatever those people just shouted. No, it's Baldur's Gate 3.
Ah, okay.
Oh, what a shock.
Yep. Absolute shock. And then we got two individual awards as well. So we got the Ambassador Award that went to, and I will apologize if I absolutely butcher this name, Fawzi Mesmer, who is a creative director at Ubisoft.
Okay.
I think he's worked on quite a few.
Well, at least it's not Yves.
And then the Lifetime Achievement Award went to Yoko Shimomura, who is, I believe, a Japanese composer who's done music for games such as the Kingdom Hearts series and Final Fantasy.
Oh, that's good. I thought you were going to say it's like an 18-year-old developer or something, but like, oh, they got the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Child prodigy.
Child prodigy. So congratulations to all those award winners. Just spinning off from the GDC as well. So that's So basically, GDC is sort of a place for developers to sort of talk about video games and kind of their experiences and future tech kind of stuff that we could expect. And Ubisoft came out with something quite interesting in that they have sort of like AI-powered NPCs. And what I say about that, what I mean is that the AI NPCs sort of learn from the players' interactions with them and sort of develop, I suppose, new behaviors and such that they have in. So they had a couple of demos shown off where they describe them as Neo NPCs. I don't know why.
Is it running on walls and dodging bullets and stuff?
Yeah, something like that.
Or long bike trek skills.
With a banana phone.
Yeah, so it was a private demo, but they essentially they showed off a few demos with these NPCs. So the first one was based on having to build a relationship with this NPC called Bloom, where it would respond and react to the player depending on the tone of voice used.
I don't reckon that's a name they used in Watch Dogs.
Probably.
It named one of the company, one of the big tech company, the big bad tech company in it. I think it was called Bloom.
Was it? Oh, okay.
I think. Yeah.
So essentially what happened is you would if you asked sort of the right questions to the NPC, this would trigger certain scripted information that was relevant to building the relationship up with the character, and you could sort of level up this relationship based on like a on-screen meter. And the more you leveled up, the more sort of behaviors you would unlock for this NPC, which sounds kind of cool for like in-game, I suppose, voice acting for the player. I could sort of see that be a new thing. The second demo, I should say, was a stealth mission, like a drone. And Bloom would react to essentially what you're doing with the drone, what you're doing in the missions, but also respond with questions as well, sort of the same time with the player, which I don't know how that would react. I'd probably have to sort of see some of these demos because, again, they were private. So I don't know how much sort of information sort of came out for these demos. But then there was also a third one where you interact with an NPC called Iron during planning a mission. So Iron would suggest ways of being able to approach, like, infiltrate this building. And apparently players were encouraged to try and suggest other ideas or challenge those ideas that Iron had. And then she would sort of react to that basically on a scripted basis. I don't know how much this might change the future, but it sounds pretty cool. Being able to have free, well, not free, but like for the player to be able to interact with voice commands potentially and getting certain reactions back, and maybe how that could play out in a video game could certainly be interesting.
Let's be honest, everyone's just going to go slap the NPCs around, aren't they?
Just cussing them out.
It's going to happen.
Getting into
it?
Arguments.
Just getting a lot of swear words and stuff.
It's going to be like Modern Warfare 2 lobbies all over again, isn't it?
It would be cool if they learned it or something like that. Like if they learned that you were giving them like an aggressive tone, they would just fight back or something. You just start firing an NPC or just because you like swore him or something.
And they would just have a riot.
We know what's
coming.
Yeah,
that'd be cool, wouldn't it?
The AI is going to start learning from the way that you speak, and let's face it, they're going to get racist, aren't they? No. I didn't want to take it there, but...
Maybe.
I guess there must be some sort of limitations to put on it.
I'm sure there will be. I suppose it depends on how really open and free they would want the world to feel. Like,
there are going to be some games that will push the limits and allow you to do a lot.
I mean, come on, you could think of something like GTA, wouldn't you? Like, that would absolutely want to push the line as far possible as they could do.
Yeah, but then we could get Liberty City Survivor back. They were fantastic cheats back in the day. Everyone just had a gun and started destroying each other.
That's what's going to turn into, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why
did GTA never do a battle royale? That's just sparked that in my own mind. Like,
some could argue Liberty GTA City. Online is a battle royale.
Yeah, that's true, actually. If you're not in passive mode, it gets pretty spicy. Yeah.
Saying that, I actually think they did do a battle royale, but I think it was like a vehicle-based one.
Hmm. I mean, it'd just be interesting, like, utilising the map in that way. And then being able to find, like, jetpacks and stuff. That'd be cool. Anyway.
It's coming in GTA 6, isn't it? I bet. They're going to jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah. And then they'll take over the Fortnite space, signing all the deals. Bugs Bunny running around Liberty City.
Vice City.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, Vice City. Yeah, anyway.
Right, well, one more thing that I'd like to speak about that's spun off from the GDC again. So during a Unreal Engine showcase that happened there, a new game got revealed from Marvel. So it will be called 1943 Rise of Hydra. Sounds intriguing. So this will star, it'll obviously be based during World War II, and it'll star Captain America and Black Panther. And it's stated as a narrative-driven assemble adventure. It's been developed by Skydance New Media. And it's actually been also helmed by Amy Hennig. So if you don't know who that was, she directed the first three Uncharted games, I believe.
I think so.
I think she left just before the fourth one.
Now, is this the one, the game where I saw the video? It looks unbelievably photorealistic.
There's a part that they show off where there's a bit of a confrontation between Captain America and Black Panther. And I will say the facial caption is
It was quite
probably
something.
The best I've ever seen. Like, literally is properly like on point.
It's like if you just glanced at it, you could believe it's probably just footage.
Yeah, it could just be a movie, honestly.
Yeah.
It looked really good. So I think you'll be playing as those two characters. And it's T'Challa's grandfather that he plays as well in Black Panther. I believe it's called Azuri. You'll play over two of the characters as well. So you're playing as Gabriel Jones, who is a US soldier and a member of the Howling Commandos, and Nanali, who is leader of the Kandan Spice. That's a completely different film.
What's his name, June?
Yeah. Sorry, Wakandan Spy Network. So, I think they said the release date would be sometime in 2025. So, while ago.
Could be one for the PS5 Pro.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Nathan. So, yes, according to Insider Gaming, there's been leaked documentation about a possible PS5 Pro, which is due to release this holiday, 2024. Now, I won't go through all the technical aspects because a lot of it I don't even understand, but just some percentages of how improved over the old, well, I say old,
the current one.
She's getting on.
Yeah. So the system memory is supposed to be apparently 28% increase over the standard. It's quite substantial. The CPU is identical to the standard PS5, but the Pro has a high CPU frequency mode, which will give it a 10% increase over the standard console. In terms of audio, the ACV, what is ACV? Any ideas? Don't know. Audio something or other. In the PS5 Pro runs at a higher clock speed over the standard PS5, resulting in the ACM library having 35% more performance. I was going to say, does that mean louder? But I don't think it does.
Or audio fidelity. Going to sound richer.
but it'll also render 45% faster than current PS5. That's quite a leap. 2 to 3 times the ray tracing, possibly 4 in some cases, apparently. 33.5 teraflops, and a thing called PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution Upscaling,
fancy,
which will have upscaling anti-aliasing solution. Support for resolutions up to 8K is planned for the future. Ambitious, I think that is.
Do you know what? I saw that and I was like, I've got this PS4 box. Sorry, PS4. I've got this PS5 box over here that says 8K on it, even though we've had no 8K games. So I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah. It will have custom machine learning architecture and AI accelerator, and it'll still have 1 terabyte of storage and the detachable disk drive from the new slim version that's recently come out.
Yeah. 1 terabyte's a joke.
It is. In nowadays, yeah. It's a bit pathetic.
It needs to be at least 2.
Yeah.
And if video game producers are going to be making games for this and utilizing all this extra technology, then they are going to be 300, maybe even 400 gigabyte games. So
yeah,
you're going to have COD and EA.
Yeah, that's about
and then that's it. And then a couple of indie games, if you're lucky.
Some people buy consoles only for them, the games anyway.
And I buy it only for one of those games, so I'm the worst. Love my COD. I'll be getting one, regardless. Just because it's new and shiny.
And probably expensive.
Yeah.
Well, I say, how much is this going to be?
that's the one thing we'd not be told.
Well, I'll read in that there's an expected, in air quotes, price point of around $600 to $650, so you've got to be thinking £500 plus.
How old's the PS5 now?
4 years?
Yeah.
Average lifespan's about 7, is it? Something like that? 7, 8?
7 to 8, yeah.
Why bother? Just wait for PS6. Surely. This is a bit of a pointless endeavor buying this.
But you get more power.
Well, right, yeah, plus. But I'm not going to use it for anything.
If I buy it, I can lord it over everyone that's got a normal PS5.
Nobody will care, mate. It's just like,
I'll care.
We've still got our money.
You're saying that and you'll be playing EA. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, but my players are going to look amazing. In 8K, 120 frames or whatever.
No, it's not going to let you play any better.
It is. I'm going to be so much quicker because of the screen up.
Well, the refresh. Yeah.
Refresh rate, yeah, that's it, yeah. Yeah.
No, the audio.
Yeah, that's it.
That clean, crisp audio.
I'll be able to hear Lee Dixon's voice ringing in my ear.
Oh, no.
No. Don't want that. Don't want that.
I wonder how it's going to look. I hope it's black. I want it to be black.
Why?
Because black's cool. And it matches everything else on my entertainment stand then. So.
Off your PS5.
Well, that's going to be gone.
Oh, is that what? No, it's because the PS5 is different from everything else you've got.
Yeah.
Hang on, can't you just buy new plates for it?
Yeah, but I'm not spending 30 quid on new plates.
But you're going to spend, like, what, 650 or whatever on a console?
Yeah, but they'll have a trading program, so I can trade one of my other PS5s in and then put the extra money.
Listen yeah. to it.
That sounds really pretentious. I've only got 2.
Oh, well, they got 2, okay.
And then the standard PS5 can go into the games room where Lisa can play that like a second-class citizen.
This keeps getting worse.
And then I'm going to play the pro version.
Into the games room. Yeah. Save us, Matthew. What else you got?
There's no saving this, well, mate.
Metacricket.
Yeah. I swear you say that every time you say that.
Yeah, let me start that again. Well, Metacritic has decided to grace us with a new top 10 list.
Oh, lists.
Yes, we love our list, don't we?
Yeah, all those lists. Very popular these days.
You're not a YouTuber if you've not done a top 10 list.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
you're not a YouTuber if you've not done a top of the pod.
Hey.
That's been a while, hasn't it? So.
Yep. So, what we got this time around? We got our top 10 game publishers of 2023.
Okay.
So how they do this is basically they take a average Metascore of all the games that they released of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll take the percentage of scored products with good reviews from that against a percentage of products with bad reviews, and then how many number of great titles did they release? So any games that had a score of 90 plus. So essentially build up like their score. Now, technically, I haven't just got a top 10 here. I've actually got every developer. But I thought I'll cut that a bit down.
But is it the like 50 odd in the list?
There's 43 in the list, yeah. So you're pretty close. I'll go through some of the interesting ones that missed the top 10, which you might be interested in knowing. So we've got Atari, who had appeared at 29.
I'm not really shocked at that, to be honest.
Is that because they just re-released the Atari 2600 thing?
Maybe.
Hey, that's only 60 quid now. It's proper tanked in value.
We have got Bandai Namco at 27. Might be a bit surprising. It's because they released Armored Core last year.
True.
Which is a good game. We have Take-Two Interactive, 25. Maybe not surprising. The only good thing they released last year was the re-release of Red Dead Redemption. Even that could be argued whether that was good. Ubisoft came at 23. A bit low for them. Square Enix Square Enix, sorry.
For what?
Came in
19.
EA came in 16th, tied with shocking. Team 17. At 15, you've got Microsoft. 14 was Gearbox. 13 is Sony. Didn't he hit the top 10? And apparently, the year prior, they came in at number one.
What did they release?
Yeah, but it's expensive to release anything, yeah. That's the thing.
Well, they did release Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, but it's one game, though, isn't it? This is the thing. It's... Surely this is a balance between all the
true. Games. Well, this is it. So they released 10 titles throughout the year, and 7 of them got at least a good rating, which I think was above 70 or 75%. No, not percent bad, but they only had one great game of the year, which was obviously Marvel Spider-Man. And then Devolver Digital came in at 11. So, now, I'll go through the
top 10.
Yep. So, number 10, we have Thunderful.
What did they do?
Well, apparently they had 13 products released throughout the year, which was ended up being sort of 7 tiles. Their best game was Wordless, which was rated at 85. They're a Swedish company as well. I think it's probably just a lot of small things probably that are released, maybe indie titles, but they all probably rated decently. So it's not too bad. At number 9, we've got Sega, who released 35 products throughout the year, which is a lot.
I don't know about these games.
Their best game of the year was Persona 4 Golden on the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, yeah. Forgot they did that.
Which is rated 90.
How many did they release?
35 products, apparently.
It's saying here 35 products, but in brackets, they've got 15 titles. So
I was gonna say, like,
I don't know what's the difference between like a product and a title. Maybe products could be like DLC as well. I don't know. Maybe that's how they count.
Possible.
Number 8, we've got Bethesda Softworks. Their best game of the year was Hi-Fi Rush, which got 90.
I'm really surprised at that.
What? Bethesda or Hi-Fi?
Bethesda.
I don't know. They're a normally solid company.
But Redfall.
All right. Well, it was balanced out by Hi-Fi Rush and Starfield. There you go. At 7, we have Axis Games. Apparently, they are a California-based publisher, which specializes in bringing Japanese language games to Western audiences. So that's their best game of the year was something called Jack Jean, which ended up getting a 90 on Nintendo Switch.
Okay.
I don't think thieves should be rewarded. They should do their own stuff.
At number six, we have Nintendo, which released 22 titles throughout the year. Four great games. No guesses for what their top game of the year was?
Well, Zelda, obviously. Yep. And then Pikmin's got to be in there. And then Mario Wonder. What else?
Yeah, you're probably right on that. So. Surprised they only got six, actually, for all those top titles that they released. But yeah. Right, we're going to the top five. So now we've got Annapurna Interactive.
Do like Annapurna.
Five. Their best game of the year was Cocoon, which got a rating of 90, so that shot them up quite a bit. It's good for them. At number four, we have Dungeon Entertainment. Now, I'm assuming this is going to be, this is probably based on probably more a higher average of score of games that are released, because they only released five titles all year, but all of them, they got 100% good. And they got an average Metacritic score of 77.6 with their best game called The Last Spell, which was on PC, which was rated at 82. But all games seem to have been rated quite well, so good for them. Number three, Chorus Worldwide, which released, again, nine products but five titles. Again, 100% all good. Their best game was A Space for the Unbound on Nintendo Switch, which rated at 85. They also did the Coffee Talk sequel.
Yeah.
So that's probably why it's so high. At number two, Raw Fury. They released eight products / seven titles, all 100% good as well. Their best game of the year was Cassette Beasts on PC with a score of 83.
Oh, I love that name. Don't know what it is, but it sounds cool.
Well, if you want to know more, it's actually a Pokemon-like game. Cassette Beasts.
Nice.
If you do want to look into it, you can do. Number one, our best publisher of the year.
Can I have a guess?
Go on.
Capcom.
You are correct, sir. Capcom came in at number one. They released 25 products / 11 tiles.
That might have changed now, though.
Maybe.
After recent news.
Well, I don't know. It's still rated quite high, so it's probably still number
one. Well, it's a new year, isn't it?
So three great games, their best game of the year was Resident Evil 4, which is good for them. And they finished sixth previous year as well, so it's good. So there we go, our top 10 publishers.
Excellent.
Right, we shall slip into a bit of movie news now.
It's become a regular thing now, hasn't it?
Yes, it's become a feature. Movie / series, so... we've got a new one that's apparently in the works. So the production company, Lucky Champ, which is run by Margaret Robbie.
Margaret.
I always agree with me as Margaret. I'll put my center just call her Maggie, to be honest.
That's a mum. It's not really a mum, but anyway.
Margaret Robbie. Who helped Barbie last year.
Mm-hmm.
And also Saltburn.
Yep.
So two wildly very different movies.
Yes.
Let's go off on that one. Are looking to get The Sims going as a movie.
Yeah. I don't understand how this is going to work.
I can see it as a bit like a copy and paste Barbie, wouldn't it? But you just have it as like Sims.
That's it. All you have to do is put like a green crystal above your head and have it as like a little slice of life film.
Just re-release the film again, but just add a little crystal.
The plum bob. That's what it's called. Apparently. The crystal.
Hmm.
Yeah, right. It's... What? of all the things to make into a film, it's not the first one that struck to mind.
Yeah. Well, with it being a Margot Robbie film, I doubt that there'll be... Or someone in a swimming pool removing the stairs and watching them drown to death. So, It's a no from me.
I don't think Margot's in it. So
I don't know. I think at the moment it's just in the works, isn't it? So I mean, she could star in it. I could. Yeah, I'm interested to see.
So is it gonna be some suburban comedy? Situation comedy?
Probably.
Yeah. Or it could very well be somewhat akin to like Barbie or like, you know, like Lego movie where there's like some fourth wall breaking shenanigans where the Sims realize they're not in a actual life.
They're all in a simulation. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it becomes the Matrix. Awesome.
Yeah, I think I'd need to wear a premise for it. Because it's literally just life, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's it.
Is the first 2/3 just going to be like someone building a house?
Oh, God. That'd take hours. I know it took me hours.
It's just life simulator, though, isn't it? I don't understand how you can make a film of it.
Well,
maybe that's what it'll be. It'll just be someone's normal life lived in fast forward from birth until death. And everyone will just have a crisis of conscience, just saying, this is the life that we've got to live.
Or could it be something like The Truman Show, where everyone's...
That could work. Maybe something a little bit like... what was the one that Ryan Reynolds was in?
Free Guy.
But we've got at least one potential piece of news for, at least, that it's going to be... helmed by the director Kate Herron, who did season one of Loki.
Yeah.
So, I mean, anything like that, I mean, I really enjoyed season one of Loki. So, I feel a little bit positive about what direction they could take this into.
I'm more curious than anything.
I'm curious. I mean, I think, like you said, like, The Sims is a bit of a strange one.
Also, it's probably the similar thing I felt when they announced Gran Turismo. Maybe True. They could go down a different route than that. We were like, hang on, Gran Turismo, yeah, how the hell did you turn that into a film? And then it was actually a reality-based thing, wasn't it? So unless they go down that sort of route, how Will Wright came up with The Sims. Maybe that's how it is, I don't know. But EA will also have creative capacity involved, so that'll go well.
Get ready for some in-film microtransactions.
Yeah, just the film just stops. It's like, right, pay up.
Extra fiver to watch the second half. Oh, goodness.
Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. Thanks, chaps. We'll be back next Tuesday. You can follow us across social media. Find Joking Dolphin on YouTube and Facebook, as well as on Instagram and Twitter at Joking Dolphin. You can visit our website at jokingdolphin.com. And until next time, thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.